Okay, shoot.
This movie will be based on the epic story of my life. Canute, Danish King of England.
Danish? Uh-oh.
Subtitles.
Not gonna work.
Won't work.
Couldn't you be the English King of Denmark?
No, because I am the Danish King of England and of Denmark. And of Norway, actually.
I know you. Weren't you the guy who thought he could turn back the tide but ended up getting his feet wet?
Here we go.
Uh-oh. Soggy socks.
I hate that!
How about, instead of King Canute,
King Dumb.
Great title. King Dumb and Queen Dumber. It's a sequel.
I wasn't dumb. I didn't believe that I could actually turn back the tide. I was making a point to my followers. They thought I was so powerful that even the seas obeyed me. I was just proving to them that only God can command the tides.
So everybody else was dumb.
World of dumb.
Genius.
In a world where everyone was dumb, King Dumb was the dumbest.
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey?
No, no, this movie is about how one brave, wise, reasonably attractive warrior united three kingdoms with the power of his sword. Everyone feared him. The warrior king who brought peace this summer. Canute the Great!
Canute the Great Big Idiot.
Subtitle?
King Dumb Canute the Great Big Idiot.
King Dumb Canute the Great Big Idiot-er.
It's a franchise.
Do you know what? I'm going to take this somewhere else, though.
Oh, it's actually the other way.
Laters!
Oh. That guy's hilarious.
He's comedy.
Funny, funny guy.
Well, I don't know what you think of King Canute. I guess I've often thought that the tale of King Canute is one of an arrogant king performing a foolish act, thinking he could control the sea. However, the video is right. As a 12th century writer describes the events, but the sea carried on rising as usual, without any reverence for his person, and soaked his feet and legs. Then he, moving away, said, "All the inhabitants of the world should know that the power of kings is vain and trivial, and that none is worthy of the name of king but he whose command the heaven, earth, and sea obey by eternal laws." So it was quite clear that actually King Canute wanted to show his people that only God can control the sea. He wasn't being arrogant at all. Well, Psalm 93 calls us to put our seats by the seashore and recognize that the Lord our God rules the world. Psalm 93 is one of the psalms called enthronement psalms, and that's made clear in verse 1. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord reigns. God is king. As one writer puts it, God reigns, not Satan, not man, not other gods, not world rulers, not foreign powers, nor circumstances, nor random fate, but God. I guess today in this country we think of the Queen and any future king as having an advisory role with ceremonial duties. But here in the Bible, a king was completely sovereign. That means he made all the decisions and they were completely final. If you questioned the king in most cultures, you were beheaded, stoned, or imprisoned for life. There were no checks and balances, but all authority was given to that one person. The Lord reigns, and he is robed in majesty. It's not the things that surround God that make him majestic, but he himself. He's the one that makes things majestic. It radiates from him, because he is majestic. And not only is he majestic, but he is all-powerful. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. God does whatever pleases his will, and he has the strength to get it done. And one of those ways is in creation, how that power of God is displayed in creation. Mankind can create things, but by using something else to create it with. God created all things by speaking it into existence. From nothing came everything. In another psalm, Psalm 33, the psalmist says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made." And this world, we are told, is firm and secure. And that means that God's established order will not be overthrown by the sinfulness of men, the elements of nature, or anything happening in history. It is fixed. The Lord's reign is majestic, sovereign, and it's eternal. Verse 2, "Your throne was established long ago. You are from eternity." Another psalm says, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations." God is uncreated and unending. God is timeless. God has no time limits. God lives in one eternal now. There's no reason for God to be in a hurry. Time is always on his side. You cannot wait God out. He has all the time in the world. Isaiah 55 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." God has always been on his throne, which brings peace and assurance that nothing happens without him knowing. Nothing surprises God. The Lord has always been on his throne because he has always been. He is eternal. But even though the Lord reigns, the world responds to the authority of God with rebellion and irreverence. Verse 3. "The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves." People, even nations, rise up and try to oppose God. They lift up their voices in opposition to him. Even their actions are like pounding waves trying to dethrone the Lord, but to no avail. God is not to be moved. But even more than that, verse 4, "Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty." The total power of all the people that rise up against God is just like a sound to him. Even these great sounds of the many waters are not going to dethrone God, because he is mighty. The Lord, he doesn't prevent the seas from lifting up, but the Lord triumphs over the seas and the waves because he is mighty. He is mightier than the floods. Again, in Psalm 33, it says, "He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. So the stormy sea is a symbol of chaos, violence and evil. A statement about the power of sin and the weakness of man. Such opposition to God has led to poverty, racism, violence, injustice, division, and corruption in the world around us. The seas have lifted up. We live in a world of lies, falsehoods, and deception. So who can we trust? Verse 5. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. Trustworthiness does not have to have qualifications or quantifications, as one writer puts it. A person is either trustworthy or they're not. The truth revealed about God is as true and solid as the throne on which he rules. God has revealed himself to mankind through the Bible. In it we see God, we see mankind's problems, we see the solutions to our problem and the rules for living for God. The Almighty, Sovereign, Eternal, Immovable, Awesome, Creator, King, who has chosen to reveal to us who he is. And let us search for him and let us spend time with him and his word. For we can trust the word of the Lord. Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Another person wrote, the word of God is sufficient to reach the lost, sanctify the believer, govern the church, counsel the troubled, and change the world. Psalm 93 begins with majesty and ends with holiness. It begins with God's royal highness. It ends with God's perfect holiness. Holiness, surely a key characteristic of God. The quality that sets the Lord apart from any other gods. Isaiah again. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And God is so holy that everything associated with him also is holy. His ways are good. His rule is righteous. You can count on God to do what is right. And Jesus, the Son of God, has all those qualities as well. And as we think about the pounding waves and the thunder of the great waters, our thoughts turn to the boat on the Sea of Galilee. You remember the gospel story. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. When they cried out to Jesus, he simply rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm calms down. It's all quite matter-of-fact, really. No drama, just a simple command from Jesus. He's not upset that they've called out to him. Clearly, that was the right thing to do. They've looked at their surroundings and they've come to the conclusion that they're going to drown. Even though Jesus is with them, they've allowed the storms to trouble them and they're afraid and they think they're going to die. At that moment, the disciples had more fear of the storm than any trust in Jesus. And so when the storms of life surround us, it's easy to think that we're at the mercy of the wind and the waves. Clearly, that is only natural. But Jesus here is calling us to perceive something supernatural. His presence is greater than the frightening circumstances around us. He can intervene and rescue if only we will ask. Just as Jesus calmed the waves, he can calm whatever storms we are facing today. And when Jesus says, "Why are you afraid?" he's using a word which is more like timid than fear. Why are you so timid? Do you still have no faith? And this suggests that if we place our trust in the one who is ultimately trustworthy, then we will be less timid, cowardly, or fearful. As one Christian writer puts it, "I often wonder what our churches and indeed we ourselves as Christians might look like if we learned to be less timid. Much of the conversations I hear in church circles are fear-driven. We are apparently constantly terrified by the waves of modern culture, convinced that our ship, the church, is going to sink into oblivion. I strongly suspect that Jesus might say to us exactly what he says to his first disciples, 'Why are you so timid? Have you still no faith?'" Well, the disciples wondered, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The answer is obvious. Only God is mightier than the winds, waves, and waters. Jesus is more than an example, a prophet, or a miracle worker. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Jesus is, and I quote again, "heaven's wonder, hell's worry, and humanity's way out of sin, guilt, shame, death, and hell. Whatever the storm is, the Lord Jesus Christ is mighty to save." Psalm 33 told us that God could gather the waters of the sea into jars. And yet somehow we try to put God in a box. There might be all sorts of reasons why we try to do that. Fear of what God might do, familiarity, habit, doubt, hurt, lack of trust, desire for order and a quiet life, pride. But if we try to do this, we don't experience him in all his vastness, might, majesty, and power. God is God, and he will not be confined to our expectations. As one commentator put it, "What are you fearing today? Where are you doubting God? How are your expectations forcing God into your little box? Reject fear and follow faith, and remember, faith makes things possible, not easy. Get your eyes off of the circumstances and back into God. Consider that God may have some creative alternatives to accomplish his plan through you. So let him blow your little spiritual box to smithereens. Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. We can't box God in, but we can box ourselves out. If God isn't living up to our expectations, maybe it's time to change our expectations of him. God is not like anyone we've ever met. It may be that King Canute has been misunderstood. But let's not misunderstand God. As we sometimes sing, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. Amen.